Russian households have quietly accumulated nearly 300 tons of gold since 2022, equal to Spain's official reserves, after sanctions made foreign currencies harder to hold. Bloomberg reports retail demand hit 62 tons in 2025, with Albanian Tree Research noting that Russians now favor bars, coins, and jewelry as savings. Tax breaks and the launch of a domestic gold exchange cement gold's role as both policy tool and household safeguard.
Welcome to the Morning Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey, where each morning Vince brings you the financial and precious metals news to get you ready for your day. And now, here's Vince.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Vince Lancey. This is the Goldfix Market Rundown. It's 8:12. There's the front page. We're going to be talking about the story in the lower right-hand side. Russian savers hold as much gold as European nations, Spain and others. Here's the market. 10-year yields are up 1. The dollar is up 10. It's 2 days in a row. It's up. S&P 500 is 68.82, up 20. NASDAQ is 26.100, up 69. The VIX is down about a percentage point. Gold is down 11. Essentially on its highs of the last 4 hours. Silver in the middle or on the highs of its range in the last several hours. There was buying out of Asia, backed off during Europe, and now as we go into U.S. time, the buying is coming back. Copper is up a little bit. WTI up a little bit. Natural gas up a percent and a half. Pretty strong. Bitcoin up 1,800. Ethereum up 61. Palladium and platinum mixed up 9, down 9. Respectively. UBS has an upgrade out for both of those metals. We'll be talking about that in a little bit. Gold, silver down a little bit, and grains are all down, wheat down the most. So that's a give back from whatever came out of the Trump G summit. Okay, so front and center, Goldfix PM, gold, silver rip higher on bearish news. We have a 23-minute long explanation of what happened, or at least what we think happened, and we're not going to go through that again today. If you guys listen to that, you'll get an idea of what happened last night, but you know, we'll touch on that a little bit. The story to discuss: Russian savers hold as much gold as European nations. The new domestic gold standard is in Russian. China in 2016 or 17 was asked, a Chinese official was asked, how much gold does China really hold? And the response was by the official, China owns gold through its people. And at the time that was taken as a cynically taken as a statement as that the Chinese will, the CCP would confiscate the gold from their people if they had to. But that's not the case. I mean, I'm sure they will confiscate it if they have to. But that wasn't the premise. The premise is China has encouraged gold ownership and is going to encourage gold ownership more as a part of national pride. And a hat tip to the to what Korea did during the currency crisis in 1998. So that was a positive statement that the West took as a negative statement because of our own bias. Now we go to Russia, which is now doing what the Chinese did successfully. Gold is being linked to national pride. It's one of our biggest economic assets. We hold it, we mine it, we use it. So you have a gold culture getting deeply entrenched. Russian households have quietly accumulated nearly 300 tons of gold since 2022, equal to Spain's official reserves after sanctions made foreign currencies harder to hold. Bloomberg reports retail demand hit 62 tons in 2025, with Albanian Tree Research noting that Russians now favor bars, coins, and jewelry as savings. Tax breaks and the launch of a domestic gold exchange cement gold's role as both policy tool and household safeguard, just like China. The cultural success of taking an asset that's everyone's seen for thousands of years, that central banks own, and telling people, you know what, forget this neo-Keynesian fiat American horseshit, go with what you know. And they're going with what they know. And they're doing bottom-up now. Russia doesn't usually do bottom-up. Russia does top-down. We told you to do it or die. You know, China used to do top down, do it or die, and now they do top down and bottom up, meeting in the middle. Mao, do it or die, to basically do it because we think it's a good idea, and then encouraging the people at the bottom up to do it. We do the same thing. It's called propaganda. But Russia is really coming into its own in terms of gold at the local level, which means tie this with, they just opened an exchange in St. Petersburg, which we documented here, tie this with the fact that they really have been given no choice, and you're creating national pride. This is national pride manifesting in the ownership of gold. And tax breaks, they're going to allow their people to borrow against gold too. Russia and China are tying their currencies to gold, not making them backed by gold, but they're saying to people, if you have an ounce of gold and you want to build an addition on your, whatever it is, on your house or cottage or whatever, there's a word for it, I forget. Well, we're going to allow you to borrow capital against it. How many yuan do you want? How many rubles do you want? You'll take that currency out, and the people will determine the ratio of gold to the money, and the banks will be used to regulate that. It's happening. It's happening, folks. It's like anyway, more of that in the premium post. Russian savers hold as much gold as some European nations. Related post, GoldFixPM, we mentioned that already. Gold, Korea buys it, India flies it, LBMA denies it. That's the title of yesterday's morning rundown. Founders, China, gold pays interest now. We're going to be putting out a version of that for premium over the weekend, and Robbo December was not a done deal, elaborating on something that we and other people already told you. Coming soon this weekend, UBS upgrades platinum and palladium. They upgrade platinum wholeheartedly. They upgrade palladium half-heartedly. And I don't mean that as a negative. I mean, they upgrade platinum because they upgrade platinum. They upgrade palladium because, well, even though the fundamentals are lacking, they see the demand out of the U.S. being consistent. And both of these upgrades are somewhat tied to the fear of, I hope I get the number right, 232, the executive order that may eventually tariff imports of U.S. goods. Now, we've said in the past, it's idiotic to import, to put tariffs on imports of things you need. And the U.S. isn't going to do that because we need it. Other countries are going to tariff exports to us. Are they going to literally tariff them? Probably not, because it's a bad optic. Trump is optically a bully. These other countries are not going to be bullies. They're going to be passive. They're not going to tariff the export of platinum. They're just not going to sell it to us anymore. And so American businesses see this, and they're saying, okay, well, Trump may or may not tariff imports of platinum and palladium, but whether he is or not doesn't matter, because they're going to sell less to us, which is all part of that wheel of mercantilism. Deutsche Bank thinks the gold bottom may be in. They think the bottom is roughly no lower than 3,800, and it's based on ETF analysis. We conspiratorially think that the ETFs are selling and that JP Morgan and other banks are buying them to add to the GLD reserve. You'll see GLD go up in a down market right now. I mean, GLD reserves go up. Hartnett weekly walkthrough when we get that, and WGC annual trend report is out. And they note that gold trend is going up and gold demand is going up, and none of that is really new to viewers and readers here. But it's nice to get some numbers on it and more. Moving on deck, PCE. I don't think we actually have it today. That's it. So I'll show you a couple charts where we are. Where are we? There we are. All right. So there's two charts, silver on the left, gold on the right. Let me hide these for a moment. So you'll notice, let me just stretch. Bring this over, right? And stretch this out a little bit. Here's my Bob Ross impersonation. Okay. You'll notice, if you're looking at the chart technically or just behaviorally, silver and gold bottomed on the same day, but silver bottomed better, even though it bottomed lower It bottomed better. That's all I'm going to say. That didn't bottom lower. The candle is green. The candle was red and gold. Okay. And then you'll also notice that I have dotted lines above, and those are my alerts to become outrageously bullish again. And you'll notice, the breakdowns are about the same. They're about the same. But the most important part of why I have the lines there is the gold market. Three times, it's not a triple top, but three times it tested this area after, in my opinion, big money sold it, like BIS, plunge protection team sold it, and three times it failed. So we think there's an echo order down here, keeping a lid on it to make sure it doesn't get momentum again, at least for now. And we also think that there's buying down here. There was buying down here, and that was bullion banks and gamma hedgers hedging. But anyway, that story aside, just visually look at it. You're at these three here, these three there, and we put our dotted line above those. And silver is up against that line. Gold is not. There is a lid on gold. There isn't a lid on silver. That's a visual comment. It's not like we're trying to put responsibility on someone. But we are saying this. If you're bullish gold, based on this, you should buy silver. If you're bearish silver, well, you want to sell silver if you're bearish silver, but you want to sell gold if you're bearish gold right now. And I say that because if you look at these markets, it seems like, let me read my notes here, gold is scared, silver is not, of my dotted lines. And directionally, these markets are governed by silver demand, and reversal by gold supply. So demand means there really isn't any silver going into London. There's just silver loaned to London for 30, 60, 90 days. On the other side, there really is gold supply. And by supply, whether you think it's paper or physical, doesn't matter. It's supply in the market that's coming in from above, keeping a lid on it. So my conclusion right now, at least for the moment, is this. I'm looking at gold and I'm saying new range, 3,800, which coincides with, even though we didn't get there yet, 3,800 kind of coincides with Deutsche Bank's area and this area here, which is above my dotted line, but this is the area that I want to be really comfortable with outside of the range. So there's your range. 4,200 to 3,800 is the range. Now, silver is not in the range. Silver is in the range, but it's 44 to 49 in my mind. Okay, so again, you get into this candle, it should, it won't necessarily do it, but it should skate higher. But I'm looking at gold as in a new range. I'm looking at gold as very early to say it's in a range. Usually you don't get people identify ranges until we've broken out of them, right? Or we've gone back and forth three times. Well, I'm saying this feels like another range. It feels like you've got buying down here. I don't know, I haven't seen the ledge that I need to form yet, but it feels like buying down here and buying in here. So if we get back above there, I think shorts are going to cover again. And you've got definitely half selling up here, right? You had selling up here, but I think that was in sympathy with the gold selling. I think silver was sold by someone big as well. And then you have an echo in here. So I think we're in the beginning of starting a new range. And the reason that matters to me is I get more patient. And I also look at that butterfly concept. And I say, you know, maybe a 4,200, 4,000, 3,800 butterfly in gold might not be a bad idea after all, especially with open interest at the 4,000 strike, OTC, not futures, doing what they do. And what would I say would be the time frame on that? Well, I mean, there's really not a lot of time left in the DEES contract, but DEES contract might, the market could flatline through the DEES contract, and then when the Fed contract gets some traction, it'll go up during buy season. But we're in buy season. The low may have been put in, and we could be in a range. And you remember a couple months ago, we got excited about a $100 rally, but it was still just in a big range. And now we're in a big range. I'm Vince. Have a great weekend, and look for these this weekend. Catch you later.
Well, thank you, Vincent, for another great week of coverage here on the Arcadia Channel. And thank you sincerely to each and every one of you that tunes in. It's always a lot of fun talking with people in the chat. Really a great crew that we have there. So thanks to everyone who joins in. And brightens my day each morning. Just a lot of fun being there with you. Hope you had a great week and are getting set for a relaxing weekend. By the time you hear this, I'll already be up at the Halloween Festival, so excited to celebrate there and mix a nice festival of music into the diet. And before we wrap up, did just want to thank Fortuna Mining, one of the companies that helps make all this possible each month. And as you may have seen on the channel, about 2 weeks ago, Fortuna did deliver their preliminary economic assessment for their Diambassou Gold Project in Senegal. And obviously they've been doing a lot of drilling that has helped increase the ounces that they have there. And just for an update from our last call with Jorge Ganoza, the CEO of Fortuna, where he talked about those drill results, well, let's take a listen here. 8.6 grams per ton over 13.6 meters at Southern Arc, where you're continuing your drilling. Anything you could highlight from what you've seen already so far?
Yes, Southern Arc was a soil anomaly. Gold in soil anomaly outlined by the previous owners. It has some light drilling in the periphery with nothing to show for. And it is based, again, on this renewed understanding of the geology that we've been able to come back here and drill test it again. And we're finding the kind of mineralization that you show here in the news release. Wide widths with high-grade gold. So it's also near surface. You know, when you're, you know, tens of meters, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 meters below surface, wide, simple metallurgy so far. So, no, it's a project that has a lot of good things, and the Senegalese government is supportive. So, you know, we're finding it very encouraging, all of it.
Well, thank you, Jorge, and thank you to Fortuna. Certainly has been quite a pleasure for me and hopefully for a lot of you at home to follow a company that really has made big changes in the last couple of years, but in a world where a lot of people say things that they don't follow through on. I think that's one of the true strengths of Fortuna, where they delivered on the Seguela mine in the midst of an inflation wave, but came in on time and budget. And now it looks like they're on track at Diambassou, construction decision going to be in the first half of next year. And find out more about what Jorge had to say the last time we had him on. Well, that call's coming your way now.